morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, entitled Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakasipu, text number 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Prahlad Uvacha. Shri Prahlad Uvacha. Tat sadhu manye sudavadya dehinam. Tat sadhu manye sudavadya dehinam. Sada samudvigna diyang asadgrahat. Sada samudhikna dhiyang asadgrahat. Itatma patam grihamanda kupam. Itatma patam grihamanda kupam. Manam gato yadarimasrayete. Vanam gato yadharimasrayeta. Shri Prahlad uvacha. Tat sadhu manye sudavadya dehinam. Sada samudvigna diyang asadgrahat. Itatma patam grihamanda kupam. Vanam gato yadharimasrayeta. Shri Prahlad uvacha. Tat sadhu manye sudavadya dehinam. Sada samudvigna diyang asadgrahat. Hitvatma patam grihamanda kupam. Vanam gato yadarimasrayeta. Shri Prahlad uvacha. Tat sadhu manye sudavadya dehinam. Sada samudvigna diyam asadgrahat. Itatma patam grihamanda kupam. Vanam gato yadarimasrayeta. Shri Prahlad uvacha. Tat sadhu manye sudavadya dehinam. Sada samudvigna diyam asadgrahat. Itatma patam grihamanda kupam. Vanam gato yadarimasritayata. Aduvacha. Tat sadhu manye sudavadya dehinam. Sada samudvigna diyam asadgrahat. Itatma patam grihamanda kupam. Anam gato yadanimasriteta.
Jesus.
Mandakupam. Shripaladu vacha tat sarumanye suravadi dehinam sada samutikna diyama sadgraha itatma patam grihamanda kupam Vanam koto yadanima sriyeta Shri Prahlada vacha Tat sadhu manye sudhavarya dehinam Sada samudrikna divam asadgrahat Itvatma patam grihamanda yogam Vanam gato yadharima sridayata. Ladies? Shri Prahlada vacha. Prahlada Maharaj replied. Tat. That. Sadhu. The very good or the best part of life. Manye. I think. Asuryavarya, O king of the Asuras, Dehinam, of persons who have accepted the material body, Sada, always, Samudvigna, full of anxieties, Dhyam, whose intelligence, Asatgrahat, because of accepting the temporary body or bodily relations as real, thinking, I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine. Hitva, giving up. Atmapatam, the place where spiritual culture or self-realization is stopped. Griham, the bodily concept of life or household life. Andakupam, which is nothing but a blind well where there is no water, but one nonetheless searches for water. Vanam, to the forest. Gataha, going. Yat, which. Harim, the personality of Godhead. Asrayeta, may take shelter of. Translation. Palad Maharaj replied, O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety, because of having fallen in a dark well where there's no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, Van. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakasipu thought that Prahlad, being nothing but a small boy with no actual experience, might reply with something pleasing but nothing practical. Prahlad Maharaj, however, being an exalted devotee, had acquired all the qualities of education. Yashasti bhakti bhagavati yakinchina sarvai gunaistatra samaste sura Harava bhakta shakuto maha guna manorate nasate davato bahi. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. However, He who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications because he's engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text 12. So-called educated philosophers and scientists who are simply on the mental platform cannot distinguish between what is actually sat, eternal, and what is asat, temporary. The Vedic injunction is asato dhya jyotirgamaha. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Elsewhere it is said, apashyatam atma tattvam griheshu grihamedinam. Those who are attached to the bodily conception of life and who thus stick to life as a grihastha or a householder on the platform of material sense enjoyment cannot see the welfare of the eternal soul. Prahlad Maharaj confirmed this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what his self-interest is and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be part and parcel of Krishna and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for guaranteed spiritual success. Everyone in the material world is in the bodily conception, struggling hard for existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of repeated birth and death, one should go to the forest, Van. In the Van Ashram system, one first becomes a brahmachari and then a grihastha, a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi. Going to the forest means accepting vanaprastha life, which is between grihastha life and sannyas. As confirmed in the Vishnu Puran, Van Ashrama Charyavat Purushena Parapumang Vishnu Aradhyate. By accepting the institution of Varna and Ashram, one can very easily elevate himself to the platform of worshipping Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, if one remains in the bodily conception, one must rot within the material world, and his life will be a failure. Society must have divisions of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and for spiritual advancement, one must gradually develop as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and a sannyasi. Prahlad Maharaj recommended that his father accept vanaprastha life because as a grihastha, he was becoming increasingly demoniac due to bodily attachment. Prahlad recommended to his father that accepting vanaprastha life would be better than going deeper and deeper into griham andakupam, the blind well of life as a grihastha. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore invite all the elderly persons of the world to come to Vrindavan and stay here in retired life, making advancement in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmuditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vacha Lambangum Langayate Re Yat Kripa Tarham Bande Shri Gurun Dinatarnam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram. So today is Nrisimha Chaturdasi, the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev. And this verse is from the pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance. Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakasipu, who was the demon, very big demon. He had a brother. There were two demons born of Aditi. One was Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu. So Hiranyaksha, he was killed by Lord Brahma. He was creating such a disturbance that the Lord came in the form of a boar and he killed Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakasipu became very upset that his brother had been killed by Vishnu. And he made a vow that he will kill this Vishnu. Right? So he and his associates set about to create problems to the Brahmins, because the Brahmins, they worshipped the Lord by performing sacrifices, and the results of these sacrifices were enjoyed by the demigods. And so Hiranyakasipu felt that if we stopped all these sacrifices, the demigods won't get their share, and they'll dry up, and Vishnu will also be finished then, because he's always protecting the demigods. And Hiranyakasipu felt that Vishnu favored the demigods more than the demons. Right? He was partial. So in the chapter before this, the first chapter of this seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, it's described there how the Lord is actually not partial. He's equal to everyone. The whole chapter is about the impartiality of the Lord, and that it's actually due to the modes of material nature. If the modes of goodness are prominent, then the demigods, the saintly persons, persons in the mode of goodness, they flourish. Right? But if the modes of passion and ignorance are prominent, then the demons, they flourish, because they're predominantly in passion and in ignorance. So we can see today who's flourishing, right? The devotees or the demons? Huh? Why? Because the modes of ignorance and passion are very prominent, right? We don't see in Bombay today, people are rushing to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Rather, we see they're rushing in the train. They're packing the train. Every day somebody falls off the train, or so many people fall off the train and die. In other words, they're risking their lives. Why? To get to their place of work so they can earn money. Right? Sabse badiya rupya. This is their goal. Why? Because by earning money, they think we will enjoy sense gratification. We will be happy. Right? We'll be prominent. We'll be famous. Right? And actually it's a fact, in the society that is based on the modes and passion and ignorance, one's worth is considered by how much money they have. Not whether they're honest or tolerant or peaceful, right? But only if they have money. They may be any rogue or rascal, Naradama, Maya Priti Gyan, but if they have money, then everybody thinks, oh, he's a very big man. Very big man. So, modes of ignorance and passion, they're predominant, and therefore the demons are flourishing. Right? So it's wrong to think that the Lord is partial. Right? Yes, he defends the demigods because they're dependent on the Lord. The demons are thinking, we don't need the Lord. Huh? By our hard work, by our intelligence, we will make a program for the computer and solve all the problems. Right? So why do we need God? Right? We have artificial intelligence. Right? And we can increase that more and more. We'll make a program. Right? So due to this atheistic mentality, the Lord fulfills their desires, he ignores them. Actually, he doesn't ignore them, but it appears as though he ignores them, because of their desire. And because the devotees of the Lord, they're dependent on him. They understand that everything in life depends upon the Lord. The air they breathe, the water they drink, the light, everything comes from the Lord. And they recognize that. And therefore they worship the Lord for that. So naturally, he fulfills their desire. So the Lord is impartial. And he fulfills everyone's desire according to their desire to have him. Yea, Yate mam prapadyante, tongues tataiva bhajami, aham. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So, because Hiranyakasipu was so inimical towards the Lord, he encouraged his followers to harass the devotees of the Lord. But he wanted to pacify the relatives of his dead brother, Hiranyaksha's wife and his sons. So actually he was preaching to them. He was preaching that we're not this body. They were very sad that their father and husband had been killed. But he said, you have to understand that in this life, we're like travelers. And just like travelers come together at a place where they get drinking water. And they all drink water together. But after they've drunk water, they go on their way to different destinations. So we're just like that. Hiranyakasipu was preaching to his relatives. And he also told a story about a king. There was a king, his name was Suyagya, and he was fighting with his enemies, and he was killed. So when he was killed, his wives came, and the king's dead body was in the battlefield with his armor. And he was a very brave king, and just before he had died, he had bit his lip to tolerate the pain of death. But the wives of the king were very morose, and they were crying piteously, and tears were flowing from their eyes that the king Suyagya had died. Right? And they were crying so much, and even it had become time to take the body for the funeral, still they weren't letting the body go. And Prabhupada says maybe in the purport that maybe the queens, at that time there was sati, that the body of the husband, the wives would also enter into the fire. Maybe they didn't want to enter into the fire, so they wouldn't let the body go. But these cries of the queens were so piteous that even Yamaraj heard. And he came upon the scene in the form of a small boy, and he preached to those queens about how foolish they were being, right? Lamenting for this dead king. Because he's here before you, that which you always saw, right? The body, it's here. But the person you heard, the person that you related with, now you feel that he's gone. Right? So that means that you never saw that person, and now he's gone. Right? What you saw, what you related as your husband, the body is there. Right? So like this, Yamaraj was preaching, and he told a story about a hunter who was killing birds, and there was a Kalinga bird who had his wife, and his wife got caught in the net. The female bird got caught in the net. So the male bird was lamenting. He was thinking how helpless is his wife, and how will he take care of the small baby birds without his wife, and how cruel Providence is that he's allowed his wife to be caught in the net. So he was thinking like this. But what he didn't notice was the hunter was behind the tree with a bow and arrow, and he was taking his aim at him. And while he was lamenting the loss of the female bird, the hunter let go of his arrow and killed him. So by this instructive story, Yamaraj, in the form of a small boy, helped the queens to realize their actual position as spirit souls and not this body. Right? And they allowed the body then to go for our cremation. And in this way, Hiranyakasipu pacified the relatives of his dead brother, Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyakasipu, he went to perform austerities. He wanted to become very powerful, right? As all materialists, they want to become powerful, right? In various ways. Either as a they want to have power like in the government, or they want to have the power of money, or some type of power they want to have. Well, Hiranyakasipu wanted to have the power that he could control the whole universe, and he could have all mystic powers. That's what he wanted. So he began to perform severe austerities. Right? He stood on one leg, right? And like that, he performed tremendous austerities. He performed so much tapasya that all the demigods were being suffocated by his powerful austerities. And they went to Lord Brahma, and they complained to Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma went to the place where Hiranyakasipu was performing austerities, and at first he couldn't find him because his whole body was covered by an anthill. And while he was doing his austerities, he had no conception of his body, and the ants and different insects ate away his body, and all that was left was bones inside the anthill. And there was this fire coming out of the top of Hiranyakasipu's head through the anthill. And then Lord Brahma could understand that he was there and performing such austerities. So Lord Brahma commended him, "You have performed such tapasya, such austerities." And he took his kamandalu and he threw water on the bones of Hiranyakasipu, and he got back a beautiful, effulgent, very powerful, strong, young body. And when Hiranyakasipu saw that Lord Brahma was before him, he fell down flat and offered obeisances and offered prayers that, "Oh, my dear Lord Brahma, you are the supreme, you are all powerful, you are the creator of the universe. Please give me whatever I want." The benediction. So he asked him, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to be immortal. Make me immortal." He said, "But I'm also not immortal. How can I make you immortal?" He said, "All right, well then at least give me the benediction that I can't be killed in the day or the night, inside the house or outside the house, by any human being or demigod, by any animal, that I can't be killed by any weapon." So Lord Brahma said, "Okay." He got these benedictions. Even though Lord Brahma knew that it was probably going to be a problem later, he gave him the benedictions. And with this power, Hiranyakasipu went and conquered all of the universe. He even threw Indra from Indra's palace. And he took over the palace. Right? Now the son of Hiranyakasipu, Prahlad, was very small. But he was a devotee of the Lord. And he had many good qualities. Right? Although he was only 5 years old, still he was always meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was under the care of his two teachers, the sons of Sukracharya, Sandana Marga. They were teaching Prahlad Maharaj. What were they teaching? They were teaching politics, economic development, all things about sense gratification. But actually Prahlad wasn't interested in these things. Prahlad was interested in meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and specifically the transcendental form of the Lord. So one day, Hiranyakasipu, he came to his son, and he asked him, "What is the what you have learned from your school studies, right? What did you learn?" So this is the verse that we chanted this morning, is the reply from Prahlad Maharaj. He explains that, "O King of the demons, A Surya Varya. Varya means the best of. So best of the Suryas, Prahlad explains, that those who have accepted this temporary household life to be all in all, the result of that is like falling into a well. Actually, there was an instance of that in ISKCON. You know, the Padyatra. The Padyatra used to travel from village to village. It started in 1984 in Dwarka. And thousands of devotees came from all over India to Dwarka. And they installed Gornitai deities. The same deities are in Mayapur and Prabhupada's Bhajan Kutir. Have you seen the big set of wooden deities in Prabhupada's Bhajan Kutir? So those were originally the Padyatra deities. In 1984, they were installed in Dwarka. And many devotees came. Jayapataka Swami, Lokanath Swami, all the devotees came to Dwarka. And they installed these deities. And the idea was that the deities would go on yatra with the devotees doing a Padyatra all the way from the route that was taken by Lord Chaitanya all the way to Kanyakumari, and then from Kanyakumari back up the coast to Mayapur, and reach there in time for the 500th year celebration of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, 1986. Right? So the devotees had a huge installation. There was so much kirtan in the city of Dwarka. The devotees raised a new flag over Dwarkadish temple, and so much arrangements were there for the celebration. And then they got out into they left Dwarka on Padyatra, and they got out, and I don't know if you've ever been to Dwarka, but outside of Dwarka, it's kind of like a desert. There's not much there. Saurashtra. So then the realization came, well, we have to, and the devotees are hungry, you have to organize something to eat. Right? So I remember Jayapataka Swami got out his computer and was trying to figure out something, and somebody else, they had these huge pots on top of the truck, and took six men just to bring the pot down, and it was totally unorganized. Well, what original idea that they had, that they would cook for the devotees as they go, they scrapped that idea. It wasn't practical. And what they started to do was there was an advance party. So they would go to the village that the Padyatra was going to reach by the end of that day, and they would go to the leaders of the village, and they would explain that Lord Chaitanya is coming, and his devotees are coming, and they're doing a Padyatra all the way back to Mayapur, and they're chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare Rama. So would you like to arrange prasadam for them? And every time, without fail, the villagers were ecstatic that devotees were coming, and they organized everything. They cooked for the devotees. They arranged, you know, chas, buttermilk, so many nice arrangements, and a reception committee. So when the devotees came, there was a big, you know, flower garlands for everyone, and an elaborate arrangement for receiving the Padyatra and Lord Chaitanya. At that time they had an elephant, so they had to make arrangements for food for the elephant. They also had a camel, and they also had three pairs of bulls, right? So it was a big thing. They had all these dioramas about the life of Lord Chaitanya, and they would feed the devotees, and in the evening there would be cinema show about Lord Chaitanya and the Hare Krishna movement. There would be lectures, kirtans, right, and prasadam distribution. So like this, they traveled all over India. So this is real devotional life. Chanting, dancing, taking prasadam. This is real spiritual life. But the materialist, they cannot appreciate that, right? They're because of their being stuck in householder life. We'll get back to the original point, which is like falling into the well. So there was this one devotee, his name was Gitanagari Das. And early in the morning, if you're traveling in the village, it's dark, completely dark, there's no light. But when you have to go out in the morning to relieve yourself, you have to go out in the fields. That's what they do in the villages. There's no, you know, WC, bathroom, washroom, toilets, right? So they go in the field. So this one devotee named Gitanagari Das, he was walking out in the field, and it just so happened it was dark. And there was a well, but it had no wall around it. And actually he fell into the well when he was walking in the dark to go to the bathroom. And he broke many bones. And he was calling out for help, but no one was hearing him, right? It was a dry well, so he didn't hit water, he hit ground, right? And when it became light and the devotees noticed that Gitanagari Das wasn't around anymore, they went to look for him and they found him in the well. Right? So this falling into the well of materialistic household life, right? This is what it's like. Right? Very precarious position. Right? If the well that is covered by grass, it looks like a solid place to step. You can step there. You'll be okay. But actually you won't. As soon as you step there, you fall down. Right? So this is the point that Prahlad Maharaj is trying to make. And if one is intelligent, one will realize that. Right? And instead of continuing in such a precarious situation, right, one will awaken and understand the real goal of life and take to the process of devotional service and not waste this precious gift of the human form of life in trying to become happy in sense gratification, which is not possible. It's just like the dry well, falling into the dry well. So, Prabhupada elaborates on the word van to mean Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the place where Brajendra Nandana is worshipped, right? The son of Nanda Maharaj, and Yashoda, the son of Yashoda, right? In that place where he is, everyone is attracted by him. In the material world, everyone is trying to imitate Krishna. Everyone is trying to be Krishna. Where everyone is attracted to them, but no one is satisfied by that. No one is satisfied. Right? The politicians, they're promising, we will give you all sense gratification. Vote for us. But when they don't receive the sense gratification, the people become dissatisfied and they throw them out. Right? The actual way that everyone can really be satisfied is by serving Krishna. So, the modern society is based on sense gratification, and it's a failed society. Previously, people lived on farms. In World War II, 80% of the population in the United States was working on a farm. So all those men that went to fight in World War II, most of them were just farmers. Now in the United States, hardly, 10 or 15% of the population is in farms and do farming. And mostly everyone is in the city trying to make a salary, right? So this is a very unnatural situation. Srila Prabhupada talks about self-sufficiency, right? Everything that we need comes from the land. Cloth, cotton, and vegetables, and grains. If you have cloth, if you have vegetables, if you have fruits and grains, milk from cows. Prabhupada's point is, what else do you need? You don't need cars. There's nothing in the factory that they make that you actually need. We see that when Nanda Maharaj felt that Gokul was not proper anymore because Putana had came and disturbed baby Krishna, right? So they said, let's go from here. So they loaded up everything in the SUV, right? No. They loaded up everything in the bullock carts, right? And they went, right? And for protection, they had bows and arrows, and they went to Vrindavan, right? So they got there. Now, it's not that you have to have a car. It's only a matter of mental adjustment. Living off the land, self-sufficient. This is the actual natural way of life where people will actually become happy. City life has become too congested. Always there were cities, but they were in the minority. Mostly people lived in the villages. You can ask anybody who grew up in a village, what is the first thing they do when they get a chuti from their job in the city? Where do they go? Oh, I'm going to my native place. Right? Native place. And they're very happy, right? They go to native place. Why? Because it's the village. The natural fresh air, right? Everything is very clean in the village. Naturally. There's no, you walk down the streets in Bombay, although it's a big city, it's so dirty. Everything is in the street, you can imagine. Let us not talk about it. But it's all in the street, right? You have to, if you walk to Mangalartik, you have to be careful where you step, right? So it's not a clean atmosphere. The air is not clean. Every day we read in the paper about how the water is not clean. Right. It's not natural life. In the forest are specifically Vrindavan, Mayapur, and wherever Krishna is worshipped, that is his dham. Like Radha Rasbihari Mandir. Radha Rasbihari Gornitai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Right? They are worshipped here. They are the lords and masters. They're the proprietor of this Hare Krishna land. Right? So this is also dham. This is a holy dham. Just like Vrindavan. Because the consciousness is in relationship to Krishna. Meditation is on Krishna. There was one devotee, his name was Vamandev. Maybe some of you know him, some of you don't. But he became very old. He was from Prabhupada's time. He was a Gujarati Brahmin from Saurashtra. His name was Upendra Yagnik was his karmi name, Upendra Yagnik. But he was very devoted. He was a good singer. He knew philosophy. But he was very humble and very simple. And when he became old, I used to joke with him and say, Vaman, Vrindavan Janika, Buddha Bangaya. Go to Vrindavan, you're becoming old. And he used to say, No. This is my Vrindavan. Shishi Radha Rasvi Hari. This is Vrindavan. So it's a matter of where we are worshipping Krishna. Right? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you cannot purchase a ticket to go to Vrindavan. It's a consciousness of the heart. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to go to Vrindavan after he took sannyas. But he was in Mayapur. Lord Nityananda tricked him to think that the Ganga was the Jamuna. And he jumped in the Jamuna. And then he saw Advaita Acharya come in a boat. And he said, what are you doing here? Well, this isn't Vrindavan. Lord Nityananda has cheated me. Advaita Acharya at that time said, my dear Lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So we practically saw, with the example of Srila Prabhupada, wherever he went, it became Vrindavan. The atmosphere was imbued with thoughts of Krishna and consciousness of Krishna. It was like wherever he was, it was a festival. It was Diwali, wherever Prabhupada was. Because it was a joyous occasion when everyone could think of Krishna. So pure devotees of the Lord, they have this technique, just like Prahlad Maharaj. Although he was born in a demoniac family, and his demoniac father was harassing him, still he was situated in Krishna, with thoughts of Krishna. So this is devotional service. We can learn from Prahlad Maharaj how to render devotional service by always thinking of Krishna. If you live in the temple, but you're thinking of cinema songs or some movie, then you're not cheating anyone. You're only cheating yourself. Right? You can't cheat anyone, but we can cheat ourselves. We have the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. It's such a rare opportunity. How many people in Bombay are taking advantage of the process of devotional service? Very few. So we should use that opportunity to its best advantage. After Hiranyakasipu, he became angry, and the first time Prahlad told him this, he didn't become so angry. He just laughed. He was a 5-year-old boy. He said, "Our enemies have been speaking to this boy. Be careful," he told the teachers. "Watch him very closely. Some Vaishnav must be talking to him." And he laughed it off, you know. So the teachers got Prahlad back to the ashram. And they, "My dear boy," they were very nice with him, very sweet with him. "Where did you hear this?" So Prahlad answered that, he said, "I heard from my spiritual master that persons become afflicted by the idea that someone is my friend and someone is my enemy. I had heard that. But now I'm actually experiencing it." Right? That this is the greatest disease of, is that someone thinks this one is my friend and this one is my enemy. So they became really upset after they heard that. They said, "Get me a stick. This boy doesn't deserve it. Get me a stick." Right? They were very upset. So they began to teach him. "Sometimes you have to use a stick," they thought. They began to teach him about politics, about sense gratification, economic development. But Prahlad, although externally it appeared that he was learning these things, internally he was always thinking of Krishna. He was always thinking of the Supreme Lord. So after some time, the sons of Sukracharya felt that the boy has learned his lessons now, and now he's fixed up in politics and all of those kind of lessons that he was taught. So they brought him to his father, Hiranyakasipu, and the boy fell down at his lotus at his feet and offered his obeisances to his father. The father picked him up and put him on his lap, rubbed his head and smelt his head. He was very happy with his son had come before him. And he asked him, "What have you learnt? And what are the things that, you know, you have learnt?" So what does Prahlad Maharaj reply? He says, "Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam Bandhanam, Dasya Shaktimantinavedanam. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. So you can imagine, when Hiranyakasipu heard this, he became so angry, his lips were quivering. He was trembling with anger. And he looked at the two teachers, and he said, "You, what are you teaching my son?" And they said, "No, we didn't teach him anything. Not us. We didn't do it. We were just teaching him politics and sense gratification, all the good things." So then he turned to Prahlad. He said, "You rascal, you'll destroy my family. You'll be the death of me. And before that happens, I'll kill you." So he told his soldiers to kill Prahlad. And they came rushing at him with swords and tridents. Right? And they were stabbing his body. But no effect. They threw him off a cliff. They tried to have him trampled by an elephant. They threw him in a vat of boiling oil. He was attacked by deadly snakes. They fed him poison. Nothing happened. Hiranyakasipu became very morose. He thought, "Whoa, what am I going to do now? I'm controlling the whole universe, but I can't kill this 5-year-old little boy. What's going on here?" So seeing his morose mentality, the teachers of Shukracharya, they came to him and said, "Don't worry. He's just a 5-year-old boy anyway. We'll keep him in the ashram. We'll keep our eye on him. Don't worry about it." So Hiranyakasipu agreed. And they took him back again to the ashram. And they watched him very closely. Right? So whenever the teachers weren't there, Prahlad would do preaching. Just like the devotees that go to IIT and other colleges, right? They preach. Right? And Prahlad was telling them we shouldn't just engage in playing, but from a young age of 5 years old, we should take to the process of Krishna consciousness by chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram." So although they were small boys, the students in the ashram of Sanda and Amarka, they gradually, they became devotees. Right? Even though they were the sons of the demons, they took to Krishna consciousness. You know? And that's our program. Right? Our program is to preach, to make people devotees. And how will it be possible? Well, it'll be possible by giving them good association. And how do we become good association for them? By ourselves taking to the process properly. By chanting nicely, right? By trying to hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, by worshipping the Didi, Gornitai, Sitaram Lakshman and Hanuman, Shishi Radha Rasbihari, by engaging in Didi worship, by worshipping Tulsi, right? By associating with devotees, we become devotees. And if we become devotees, then by our association, other people will become devotees. Just like Prahlad made all of his classmates into devotees. So after some time, these two sons of Shukracharya, Sanda and Amarka, they realized, uh-oh, we got a problem here. What was the problem? All of their students were becoming devotees. They weren't interested so much in their studies as they were in chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram." So they went to Hiranyakasipu and they told him, "O king, your son has turned everybody into the ashram into a devotee." And Hiranyakasipu, that was it. He said he became so angry, pulled out his sword, and he said, I'll finish this Prahlad right now, today. And they brought Prahlad before him. And he realized that he had tried to kill him before and he couldn't, but he was determined today to kill him. It's either him or me. And he asked him, where are you getting all these powers, Prahlad? And Prahlad answered, the same place that you get your powers, Father. From God. God! Where is your God? Show me. He's everywhere. Oh, everywhere. Is he in this pillar? And actually, Prahlad was seeing the Lord within the pillar. He was seeing the form of Lord Nrsingadev inside the pillar. And he said, yes, he's in the pillar. And Hiranyakasipu, with all his might, he struck the pillar with his fist. And the pillar broke, and out came Lord Nrsingadev. Nrsingadevanakira. And there was such a roar, a tumultuous sound. It's like the whole universe was cracking. And there was the form of the Lord, half man, half lion, with sharp teeth and sharp nails. And Hiranyakasipu drew out his sword, and he began to fight with Lord Nrsingadev. Right? But Lord Nrsingadev was so fearful and so fearsome and so angry that Hiranyakasipu hid behind his shield and fought like this. And at one point, Lord Nrsingadev grabbed them, just like a cat grabs a mouse. Right? And for a second he let him go. You know, cats do that. Sometimes they let a mouse go, then they catch it again. Let it go, then they catch it again. Right? So Lord Nrsingadev let Hiranyakasipu go for her. And at that moment, Hiranyakasipu thought, oh yeah, now I'll kill him. Right? And within the next second, Lord Nrsingadev took the great demon, Hiranyakasipu, and placed him on his lap and tore him apart. He bifurcated him, just like killing an insect. So, the soldiers of Hiranyakasipu, they came forward, and Lord Nrsingadev was killing them. Scores of them were killed by Lord Nrsingadev. And he was very, very angry. He was so angry that all the demigods, they were fearful, including Lord Brahma, to even go before him. But when they sent Prahlad before him, the Lord was pacified. The Lord became so happy, he put Prahlad on his lap. And Lord Nrsingadev became very peaceful. And he stroked the head and he began to lick Prahlad Maharaj's body. He was completely satisfied by his devotee, Prahlad's coming before him. So, Prahlad Maharaj's devotional service is very exemplary. And we can learn so much by it. There's one story from the Brihad Bhagavatam Amrita about Prahlad Maharaj, that he was desiring to go to Naimisarangya to see Lord Narayan. And while he was traveling there, he saw a sadhu. But the sadhu was carrying weapons. He had a bow, an arrow, he had a sword. So Prahlad was thinking, what is this? This is not proper. Right? It's, mixing things. So he decided to fight with that sadhu. And he said, I will defeat him. And they began to fight. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. He couldn't defeat this sadhu. And in the morning he was doing his puja, he was thinking. While he was worshipping his deity, he was thinking. And just then, that sadhu appeared wearing the same garland that he had put on his deity. And then he realized, this is my worshipful Lord. And he fell down and offered obeisances to the Lord. And he asked the Lord, what should I do? Because I made a vow as a Kshatriya to defeat you, but I'm not able now to fulfill that vow. What should I do? And the Lord replied to him, Prahlad, I am always defeated by you. So that's the great exemplary position of Prahlad Maharaj. He had a benediction from Lord Nrisimhadev that his relatives would also be delivered. So later on we learn about the pastime of Bali Maharaj and Banasura. So although Bali was able to surrender to Vaman, it was because of the devotional service of Prahlad Maharaj. And Banasura was delivered by, he was saved by Lord Krishna. He wasn't killed. Why? Because he was a relative of Prahlad Maharaj. So this is the wonderful pastime between Lord Nrisimhadev and his devotee Prahlad. On this day, we can think of that pastime and be greatly benefited in terms of making progress in our devotional service. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes? Microphone?
It is said that yatha pinde tatha brahmande. Whatever is in the universe is also in a mini form in our body.
What was that?
Whatever is in the universe is in a mini form in our body also. Yatha pinde tatha brahmande. So God resides in our heart, right? As Paramatma. So can we say that our heart region is just like virtual Vrindavan? Though it is, covered by some impurities.
Well, if we take to the process of devotional service, Nava Bhakti, yes, we can make our heart like Vrindavan. Right now, although it's there, it's covered over by so many dirty things. And those main thing is, I think I'm in this body, and I can enjoy this body. That's the main discrepancy that's there within the heart. But by hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, gradually those things can become cleared away. And our natural position of our hearts being like Vrindavan, where Krishna is in the center and is the focus of everything, can be established gradually. That's why we're sitting here in the Bhagavatam class, to clear up our hearts. Any other questions? Comments? Yes? At Bhutahari, must be a name of Lord Nrisimhadev. Wonderful, the Lord, Hari, wonderful farm. At Bhutahari.
In the beginning, you've mentioned that Hiranyakashipu made sure that all the yagyas are completely destroyed, that there is no, that demigods cannot get sustained basically by them. So what kind of sustenance is that? How they're dependent on those yagyas, which people perform in on our planetary systems?
Well, ultimately, everyone is dependent on Krishna for everything. And that was the system that the Lord set up by performance of yagya. And the offerings of oblations were offered to the demigods. You know, I'm sure it's not a material process. It's more subtle, material, but more subtle, of the demigods taking their share of the sacrifice and sustaining themselves. I mean, it used to be that the demigods would visit during the time of the great kings. They would visit those sacrifices and they would appear there and take their share. But now, in Kali Yuga, the demigods don't feel to visit here much because it's not so clean as previously the earth was due to the age of Kali. But in previous ages, the demigods would regularly come and they would participate in these yagyas that were performed by the great kings. And that was actually the sign of success. We see Prithu Maharaj, Indra, he came. Right? Of course, he came to try and stop the sacrifice, but he came. Right? So they came and they participated and they took their share of the sacrifice. But in Kali Yuga, these types of sacrifices, they don't work. And actually, if we want to ultimately satisfy the Supreme Lord in this age, then one has to chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. So in the same way, the sacrifices satisfied the demigods and thus satisfied the Supreme Lord. The same process is happening by this Sankirtan Yajna. Not only demigods, Lord Vishnu, all living entities will become happy by performance of this yajna. Now you explain how that happens. Well, it happens transcendentally, right? Because the Lord is within everyone's heart as a Paramatma. If we chant the holy name, the Lord becomes happy and everyone will become enlightened. If we chant purely, right? We chant purely, they'll also begin to chant. So we should work on ourselves, try to chant purely so that we can help other people come to the process of becoming purified by devotional service. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Narasimha Bhagavan ki jai, Nityananda Premanande.